Well, let me just make this perfectly clear. If there's one master of the missing gap, it's got to be this man. Here comes the Colonel.
The characters that get in this studio when we go on break.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Give me a break. Just give us a break. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. And we're going to get back to Tulsa Mayor Dewey Bartlett. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments of the voice of reason. Right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Okay, I see we've got the attention of the spirit of the fountain. All it takes is a few coins here and there. Well, oh, Spirit of the Fountain, I'm going to ask you a radio question today. Mm-hmm. See how you are with old radio stuff. All right. Here you go, oh, Spirit of the Fountain. Who began his radio shows with...
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Let's go to press.
Hmm? Who said that? Who opened his radio shows with that, huh? All right, old Spirit of the Fountain, put on your thinking cap. Do 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 do, and give us the answer. Hmm?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the others.
Aha! Old Spirit of the Fountain remembers, huh? Well, I was just a little boy when I heard him say,
good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Let's go to press.
And it was Walter Winchell, yes, the great Walter Winchell. All right, well, let's get back to our program. We broke at the half hour. Tulsa Mayor Bartlett was explaining to us why fracking is indeed safe.
It's a very, very well-regulated industry, and it's done in a way that's been doing this now for many, many decades, and at the end of the day, all of us, we live here. And the last thing we want to see, is the last thing I ever want to see, is something happen that would have a problem with our water, because water is obviously very, very important to our life. And without access to good, clean water, then we really have a problem. So we never want to do anything that would put that in jeopardy.
Mr. Mayor, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people think that fracking is something new. They haven't heard of it before. They don't realize it's been going on for 60 or 70 years, and I'm glad you touched on that. Now, some of my friends at IEEE said when you get the mayor on the phone, ask him a couple of questions about the city. Does it have a 20-year plan in place for municipality growth, and what are the growth areas?
Well, we do. We have, matter of fact, a few years ago, we had not revised and altered our comprehensive plan until just a few years ago. We implemented what we called Planet Tulsa, and it was a very long, about 2-year process where about 5,000-6,000 people got very, very involved with the planning of the future use of our city. And we began implementing that about a year ago or so. We're totally revising our zoning code. It hadn't been amended or really reevaluated for 30 years.
Really?
So it's high time that we get with the program.
Boy, I guess.
And bring everything up to date. So we're doing that.
All right.
We're doing things such as changing our building codes to make them more appropriate for energy conservation. We're even doing things such as, again, recognizing our need for alternative energy to be flexible. We will be requiring in every newly constructed house, single-family home, or even in duplexes and possibly fourplexes as well, that a pipe be stubbed out from the gas pipe between the gas meter and the home, adjacent to the home, and that a valve be put on that pipe. Its use would be, or its anticipated use would be, if a person has a CNG-powered vehicle, then they'd be able to set up and install a home compressor to fill up their gas tank, and they wouldn't have to call a plumber to do a lot of things to tap in the gas line.
It'd
be ready to go. Just tie into it, turn the valve, and you're in business.
Brilliant.
So same thing, that we would have a dedicated electric circuit provided and required in each box for the electrical panel for every new home, and that electric circuit would be dedicated towards charging a battery that would be in an electric-powered car. So we think that doing those things that are very inexpensive, but they do provide flexibility to a homeowner, that if a new homeowner or even a another subsequent owner of the home would then be in a position that if they had an alternative energy powered vehicle, car, truck, whatever, that it'd be very simple for them to tie into either natural gas or electricity, and things would be provided for them so they could transition without a lot of expense.
Well, that's really some fascinating stuff, and certainly positive. I guess that's part of your second century energy initiative, and it sounds like something very positive that you're doing. Another question, though, that is coming up. In Texas, we've been warned to expect maybe some rolling power blackouts this summer during peak demand, and I don't know if you've got those same concerns in Oklahoma, but what is the city forecast on utility utilization, demand versus expenses in the near future, and what are the city's goals?
Well, so far we've been able to weather that storm. We haven't had any blackouts other than storm related, we're in pretty good shape. We have a good mix of electricity. We have a significant amount in northeast Oklahoma that, because of our access to water, we do have hydro-generated electricity. We also have coal-powered plants, and we also have a very large number of natural gas-powered turbine plants. So all of these put together, if there is a problem in some particular fuel, or plant, then we're able to supplement it by the use of the others. So we're very fortunate. We are in the process as well of installing, this is still a few years away, but we are putting in a very, very large high wire, or a series of high wires going from western Oklahoma to eastern Oklahoma. And western Oklahoma is where most of our wind power generation is occurring or will be occurring.
Yeah.
And in Oklahoma, we've had a very high level of capability moving electricity from north to south, or south-north, but not east-west. And so that was one Achilles heel we had, but we're in the process of making that change. So we're pretty flexible and very fortunate in Oklahoma, as we are, as Texas and other states are, having access to the major forms of energy generation, and being able to supplement that with hydro-generated power gives us just one extra capability that many other states in the Midwest don't have. So we're very fortunate.
Well, Tulsa is one of the most beautiful and livable cities, I think, that I have ever visited. I've always loved the times that I've been to Tulsa, and so that makes it attractive for people to move into and that sort of thing. What do you anticipate as far as industrial growth, and in what areas? What sort of industries are you attracting?
Well, we are certainly attracting quite a bit of energy-related manufacturing. We presently have a very significant amount of companies that provide quite a variety of things in the energy industry, whether it's drilling rigs or pumps, switches, tanks, different kinds of vessels, refineries. I mean, all these type of things. But many of them, what's interesting to me, Colonel, is that they have the capability of segueing from traditional oil and natural gas production and processing to the alternatives. Because if you can imagine all of these different things that control a liquid, a gas, or an electron, doesn't matter if it's crude oil or natural gas, or whether it's carbon dioxide or methane gas or CNG or some type of electron. It really doesn't matter. And if at the end of the day, if it's controlling and helping produce some form of energy in some fashion, then hooray. But in Tulsa, we have that capability. And that, once again, is, I believe, a real good advantage for our ability to segue from our history of oil and natural gas production and manufacturing into whatever the alternatives will be in the future, no matter what they are, because we're well positioned to take advantage of that opportunity. And using a tank, a valve, or a switch that used to be used for oil or natural gas, now it could be used for something unrelated to those, but still able to provide energy.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like you to put on your meditation cap there for just a minute and kind of give us a peek into the future. Give us a prediction. What if you were to give us a future prediction, what would you predict?
Well, I think one thing that's interesting to me is that the energy industry is driven so much by technology. And we're seeing today where the natural gas prices throughout the country are pretty low. And one of the reason, if not the reason they're low, is because of the new technologies that the industry's been able to develop to find new sources, brand new sources of natural gas. And they've been so successful in finding natural gas, it has driven the price down. And associated with that natural gas normally is quite a bit of oil. And for the first time in several decades, we are now beginning to produce more oil on an annual basis than we had been for the past several decades. Our oil production has been steadily declining, and we've been importing more oil. Well, this past year and current year, we're importing less and we're producing more crude oil. So I believe that with the new technologies, the new computer horsepower that we have at our disposal, that we're going to see that type of change in energy, not just in oil and natural gas, but in the alternatives. I really believe at a point in time we are going to see such a significant change in very affordable, clean energy that's going to be available throughout this country.
You want to predict a year when we will be totally off dependence on foreign oil?
I would say that would probably be 2050. It would be a while, but I think it'd be 2050.
Well, Dewey F. Bartlett, Jr., the mayor of the city of Tulsa, you've been very generous today with your time, and I want to thank you very much on behalf of our audience and IEEE and others for you being with us today. Thank you so much.
Well, you're very kind, and I really appreciate the opportunity, Colonel, and this has just been a great experience for me. Thank you, sir.
Well, today we're lucky to have on the line Nadia Smith, who is with the University of Arkansas and is working on her doctorate. She's researching the thermoelectric effects, the use of heat energy to produce electricity. Now, that's photovoltaic. Unlike photovoltaic materials, they're limited to using light in certain wavelengths. Thermoelectric devices need only a difference in temperature to produce electricity. So welcome to the program, Nadia.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Nadia, before we get into this, you're originally from the Bahamas, is that right?
Yes, I'm a transfer student from the Bahamas.
And where in the Bahamas were you born?
Nassau, Bahamas, is New Providence.
Wow, and when did you leave?
2007. I transferred here in 2007 to pursue my bachelor's.
Are you planning to go back to the Bahamas when you're through, or are you going to continue working stateside?
Well, I want to gain some experience stateside and then probably work in the Bahamas after I've gained a good amount of experience.
I guess you still have family in the Bahamas, right?
Yes, I do have family in the Bahamas and some friends here at the University of Arkansas.
Are there job opportunities for what you're going to be specializing in the Bahamas?
We're trying to go towards the green technologies. So, me coming over here, getting my doctorate degree and having some expertise and hopefully getting some experience, there'll probably be some job opportunities for me when I head back.
So the Bahamas is looking to get into green technology, and why is that? I mean, we don't think of the Bahamas as being anything like that. We think of it as a place to go and have fun.
Well, because in the Bahamas there's a lot of tropical storms and hurricanes, so you have a lot of blackouts, brownouts, So that would actually limit the blackouts and brownouts. We're also functioning on generators. So using the green technology would be advantageous to us.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Alternative energy, then, would be a way to produce electricity even if a hurricane comes through. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, tell us a little bit about your work. What exactly, how is this? We've covered a little bit about thermo conversion to electricity here, because a good friend of ours is Ray Bachman, Dr. Ray Bachman, with the University of Texas at Dallas, and he is working in nanotechnology to convert thermo to electricity. So tell us what you're doing there at the University of Arkansas.
Okay, well, right now I'm actually investigating power electronic circuits for the thermoelectric photovoltaic hybrid system. And basically what that system is a solar panel with a thermoelectric generator fixed to the rear end. So a thermoelectric generator converts heat to electricity, and a photovoltaic converts sunlight to electricity. So we're putting that into a module for increased solar energy conversion to the grid.
All right, and you're going to make a presentation on your work at the IEEE 4th Annual Green Technologies Conference going on in Tulsa, Oklahoma on the 19th and 20th of April. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And are you going to release anything really dramatic and new at that particular conference?
Well, the topology is pretty new. You can use that for a lot of distributed energy sources, such as a wind generator, solar array, or battery storage. So that's actually pretty new.
Now, this method that you're working on, would this be suitable to, let's say, put in attics of homes where it gets so hot during the summertime to generate electricity to feed back to the grid or to power the home?
It can be used in the home, but I would say probably for if you have a photovoltaic system on your roof, and you have a battery storage system. In the daytime, you can use the photovoltaic system to charge, you know, the power of your house, and you can actually charge the battery at the same time. And when the sun goes down, you can use the battery system to provide power for your house. And also feed this to the grid also at the same time. Have your photovoltaic system feeding to the grid, charging your battery, and then when the sun goes down, you can use the battery to power your house.
All right, you're saying then that the what you're working on works better if it's used in conjunction with also a photovoltaic collection. Is that correct?
Precisely. It's very flexible.
All right. Now you're I see that you're working to optimize and control the conversion to AC power for use of the grid, because this produces DC power, and you want to convert it to AC power. How is that coming?
Well, to convert to AC power, you'd be using an inverter to convert to AC power. So this is actually used for an aggregate of DC input power sources, such as a battery or a photovoltaic system. And an inverter would be used to transfer that DC to AC power for the grid.
I guess you know there's a lot of efforts going on and talk about having the whole system be DC and get away from AC altogether, since so much it works off DC, and we got to convert it back to DC when it comes into the AC, and actually a lot of power moves along the power grid and long distances in DC. You're aware of that?
Yes, that's the intention now to move towards that.
So eventually, DC power being generated from this method that you're using could work directly for all of our particular uses.
That's correct.
Now, how? Give us an explanation of how this works. How do you take heat and convert it to electricity? Are you using some sort of nanotechnology particles or something?
Well, the thermoelectric generator is based on the Seebeck effect, and basically, there's a voltage difference at the semiconductor terminals. So the physics professors would actually develop some kind of material, such as a bismuth telluride, and they would test it and develop a semiconductor device for the thermoelectric generator. But it's based on a voltage difference at the terminals of the thermoelectric generator.
Okay, so what's your
So whenever there's a temperature difference, then heat is produced and converts it to electricity.
All right. Now, what you're saying, though, is it's going to take something additional to what you're already working on. It's going to take some sort of semiconductor that you might pick up from, Applied Materials or Texas Instruments or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and the physics researchers will come up with the materials to form the semiconductor devices.
Okay, so what is it actually then that that your research is bringing forth? Just the formulas, or are you actually coming up with a system?
A system. It'll be a system. So this would actually be a circuit topology based on what the physics professors have designed and have packaged it, and then I received it and I implemented it with the grid.
Okay, and you've had success with this so far, is that right?
I'm still working on the theoretical and simulations part, but not the hardware. So that's coming later down.
Well, give us a prediction for the future. Where do you see this going?
This is actually ubiquitous. I can see this going worldwide. The Bahamas, you know, the Caribbean's going to use it. Canada is going to use it. Green technologies, it's really good, and it's advantageous. You know, oil is going up, and I think this is going to be pretty big, and it's very advantageous right now.
How long do you think it'll be before it becomes pretty standard stuff?
Probably about another 5-10 years or so. 5-10 years or so.
All right, good. Well, we're going to get to see you and hear all that you have to say when we see you up in Tulsa, Oklahoma on the 19th and 20th of April. And we're really honored that you were with us today on this particular program, giving us kind of a preview of what you're going to present.
Yes, thank you.
Now, before we go, Nadia, how about a word of wisdom, something that you might tell a fellow student, or you might tell somebody that you'd kind of like to pass on a life lesson or something like that. What do you see as beneficial?
To be successful, you have to be aggressive and you have to work hard.
All right, Nadia Smith, originally from the Bahamas, now at the University of Arkansas, working on her doctorate, researching thermoelectric effect of the use of heat energy to produce electricity. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right, thank you.
And now we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Horizontal drilling through the shales so we can eliminate oil imports. But the problem is right now they're getting a black eye for potential pollution of underground water supply leaks from the fracking. The reason they are is because they're a bunch of fly-by-night drilling companies that aren't doing it the best way. They haven't got best practices for the drilling. It has nothing to do with the natural gas and has nothing to do with the fracking itself. It has to do with the leaking of the materials from the shaft of the pipeline, similar to the BP fiasco in the Gulf. And the states where this has gone into, in particular like Pennsylvania, weren't set up to regulate this properly. Of course, in Texas and Oklahoma, regulation is shoddy anyway. But what they need to do is to get very, very high-quality regulations that are speedy and fair and predictable. So the drilling companies will have to go through a narrow funnel to get approved to drill with the right practices and eliminate these mistakes. They estimate as many as 1 out of 30 wells is drilled shoddily with the cementing of the pipe inside the well bore. My name is Don Smith. I live in Oklahoma City.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you. I